West West, y'all.
Here's Ola. Oh, he's away from one, away from another. Look at this!
Blocker Roach, I heard him on Triple M. No, it wasn't Blocker. It was Ben Dobbo. Ben Dobbo, he wants to get rid of kickoffs because of the risk of HIAs high impact.
I heard that. And I mean, that you can't remove kickoffs from the game. Like, it's not just going to be kickoffs then that you'd be worried about. You'd be worried about every end of set where the ball gets kicked down to a fullback and he
makes
he gasses
20 meters.
It up the
middle.
Exactly. Like,
if you haven't got a good chase,
I don't think there's any difference. Nah. So it's like, what's the difference? Or a line dropout that goes 50 meters and the guys are running it back from halfway. You can't remove that element from the game. Otherwise it'll turn into rugby union. I mean, yeah, collisions are going to happen, and they'll happen at any time of the game. It's not just from kickoffs. Like, yes, that might be the time where everyone's running super hard from the very first kickoff. You see that every Origin match. But, you know, it's an element that makes the game super exciting. You know, people come and watch those collisions because it's, you know, these are what people pay good money for, to watch, man, to be entertained.
Especially that, yeah, I guess for the type of game, like, you don't, it's not touch, you're not expecting, you know, we get to see so much skill in this game, and that is one of the features, is that, you know, Origin is, like, I guess that is the, that's the haka of league, of Origin. You know, they have the anthems, and they have all of this build-up. Everyone just wants the whistle to blow to see that. And yeah, you want to watch the beginning of an Origin. You want to sit down and be there. It's like the haka. It's like you want to, before an All Blacks game kickoff, you want to be there to just watch the haka. Like, that's if there's a, you know, a party on, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, yeah. Mm. And you turn the music off when the haka's like, all the other build-up, like, blah, 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 whatever. And the game kind of starts from the haka. Lee can go right to kickoff because of that hit-up. That first hit-up is like what you look for in league. You know, the first thing that happens in a rugby game is usually a kicking contest for the first lineout. But yeah, league does always delivers instead of, so to lose that kickoff is, I think Dobbo was just a bit off there. I don't know what he's thinking. Maybe he just wants his little boys to be able to play league.
All right. Like, it's probably a discussion that needs to be had, but I don't think it's a discussion that's going to end up with them removing something like that that's so fundamental to rugby league. I mean, it's fundamental in NFL and even in rugby union having kickoffs. But, you know, the collision is what they're concerned about. But, I mean, come on, like,
and
I think they're talking about, was it the week before where they had that player that got knocked out? Yeah, they can. And it's, you can't remove it from the game because, I mean, look at what's happening at rugby union now. Like, they've got all of these sorts of rules that are in place, but people are still getting knocked out. People are still getting sent off. They're still getting sin-binned. Like, I don't think them policing rugby union the way that they are now has made the spectacle any more entertaining or any more safer.
Exactly.
Oh, what it's done is it's not made it safer, and they've made the game slower and more boring to watch.
It's just so, like
you know, some of those ones where someone puts some footwork on and then they, you didn't mitigate and blah, 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 and it's like, oh, sorry, it's your duty of care to, you should have. And I was thinking, man, a prop is not thinking about those 10 million things that you can assess him on after the fact when he's coming in for where he thinks the person's shoulder is and it's a perfect copybook tackle and they put a move on or someone comes in from the side, buckets him like this, and now all of a sudden his head is where your shoulder is going instead of his chest. And then it's like, oh, yeah, sent off. That's contact with the head. You didn't. And it was yeah. like, you know, all of the analysis in rugby union around those yeah. collisions. And that's what I think NRL needs to yeah. try and avoid. They don't need
well,
that
yeah,
stuff.
And it just distracts from the game.
Over-analysis of context.
So much trying to do, because tactically, the game changes tactically too. So it's not just one thing that, like, get rid of that collision, because then kind of where the points come from, the coaches and the way the game is played. So it's almost like rugby's that. Like, I noticed I stopped watching rugby as the game got longer and as I kind of switched in between, you know, sports and going back to, and it was just kind of like naturally watching a league game and then realizing at the end of it, oh, the rugby's still on. Like, oh, and then you're kind of chopping between when there's like half time and then like the rugby half time, you know, their first half still going, like, oh, yeah, and then you just start to see it creeping in, like, oh, no wonder yeah. it's still going, like, oh, what's happening here? And just seeing the rules adjust the over stoppages. Time, yeah.
yeah.
And so as much as I get frustrated when I see a forward pass in league, I'm so happy we don't officiate on it, because it's like, man, like, that's just another level of yeah. officiating. Like, hey, yeah. that's just yeah, in the moment, and they sometimes travel forward, and sometimes the ref think it's forward, but yeah, they make the call and it's done. So yeah, I'm real glad that's one thing that hasn't crept in, because yeah, yeah, it's... They've just gone too
there's,
far.
There's probably two schools of thought on that. There's yours, and then there's people who, well, they've got the bunker there. Why can't they rule yeah. on forward passes? You know, they rule on yeah. everything else, but then it's like, sorry, he just passed it 5 meters forward to score a try.
Yeah.
Oh, we can't make a ruling on that. Like, there's no common sense that applies to it. It's just, oh, you can't rule on forward passes. Nigga, he went like this and passed the ball to a man standing in front of him who then dived and scored the try. Yeah, I'm only looking for the
yeah.
grounding of the ball and the outline.
But you can tell that it's, yeah, it's not part of my,
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think the stat that threw me off was between rugby union and league is where the ball is in play.
Yeah. Oh, and like the amount of minutes
in
play. Like
in a rugby union game, the ball is in play. Yeah, it's like 17 or 18 minutes.
A half?
Like, is it in a half? He's like, no, that's 18 minutes in a game.
No way. Like, no. Really?
No.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they had done this analysis on some Super Rugby game where the ball was in play for about 80 minutes. It must have been an All Black game, because then they were.
But especially after
that to
like those ruck sets, you've got the ball in play
World
all of
Cup
those times. Because I always just think the ball's alive surely a lot longer in union, because you know you're not tackled, roll the ball, tackle, roll the ball. It's like always
I
alive.
Think,
like,
yeah, to be honest, I don't know what their definition of in play is, like, whether that means being passed around or whether that means being stuck in a rolling maul
yeah.
in a ruck or, yeah, I don't know. So I was like, in play. Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, that's a sad sight to know that. That's a sad stat. Like, if that's how long it stays, especially if they're counting that time that the ball's at the back of a ruck or a rolling maul, come on. Then when are we actually seeing action if it's 18 minutes of that? Oh, it's a scrum. That's part of the ball and play. Oh, come on. We've had five scrums.
My sister-in-law, like, she's a hard-out leaguey, and whenever we watch All Blacks games and they do the stats at, like, halftime, and, like, back in the days when Richie and that were still playing, like, Richie McCaw has done eight tackles, and he's made, like, 28 metres.
Yeah,
I know, man. Like, is this even right?
It's the shock that the stats, like, how are they counting this? Like, what are they counting? Like, why do they count differently in the different sports? Yeah.
I was like, what an issue, man. NRL players making 56 tackles.
I know, that's what I always get shocked at, when you just see those stats and like, oh, he's gotten through a huge amount of work, six tackles for the whole 60 minutes. Like, six tackles? Are you serious? Like, what's he been doing the rest of the time? He's been putting his head in someone's pukio. His head's been stuck in someone's pukio with scrums. That's what he's been doing, man. All right, let's stop bullying the other code. Let's move along to the Dolphins-Tigers game. The Dolphins. The Dolphins bullying the Tigers. 26-16. Tigers coming off a really good win the week before, too. And, yeah, having a decent go at this.
Yeah, they had a double. Oh, yeah, I'll be honest. I don't watch this game. But both of these teams, for me, they're two of the four teams that I mentioned before. Like, these two, the Doggies and the Dragons, are four of those teams that, you know, sat comfortably outside the eight last year and, you know, are going to turn up on their day and embarrass someone if they don't turn up to give them the respect that they deserve. And, you know, the Dolphins have upset teams, the Tigers have upset teams this year, you know, and the Dragons have upset teams. Bulldogs the last round against the Roosters, you know, that was an upset, even though they almost lost that. But, you know, these teams this year are going to be able to turn up and put some really good games on, I feel. But again, it's going to be that consistency. Like, I don't know if Benji, you know, who was it that was talking about the Benji effect? Was it you?
The Benji effect. The Benji effect? That sounds like a Stacey line if I've ever heard one, this Benji effect.
I heard it somewhere. It's like, oh, do you think the Benji effect? And I was like, hey, man, it's way too early.
Like, he got his first one maybe like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, I said that, nah, it's too early. And then they won again and they got their first double in like a decade or whatever the stat was. But yeah, like these teams, like I don't watch the game, but I feel like if they're going to be competitive this year, they need to be more consistent against, you know, the top eight teams that are normally in the top eight. So it's good for them to get wins and things early on in the season because it sets them up when you head into like that busy period of like State of Origins and Anzac tests and that sort of thing. But yeah, like I don't see them troubling any of the teams that were top eight last year. They might upset a few this year, but they ain't going to be there in the big dance at the end of the year, I don't think.
Yeah, definitely not in the big dance. I actually had the Dolphins as my my spooners for this year. So I called them out as my spooners. I think
really?
Stace had the Dragons and Cy. I think he might have called the Titans. I think Simon's probably the closest. Got a bit of egg on my face. Round five, Dolphins are actually sitting pretty at the top of the table. So, yeah, let's watch the space.
Are they really?
Yeah, at the moment, they're top of the table. At the end of round five, the Dolphins are sitting pretty with 8 points, with a better for and against over the Cowboys, sitting at a 39-point differential there. So after all that analysis, Dolphins are somehow sitting first after five rounds of footy. Yeah, who would have thought? Probably someone would have thought that with Bennett coaching. I thought they were going to go worse with their roster, picking up Herbie and Flegler. Looks like they're doing better. Talking point out of that, though, Flegler looks like he had a pretty bad incident there. I watched some of the game near the end, and he was holding his pec. So I don't know if they've confirming if it's a torn pec or I think there was talk of an ACL. So, yeah, they might be out, Herbie Farnworth, near the end of the game. So, might be a pec injury to Farnworth.
Oh, if it's Herbie.
Yeah, so that's going to be a huge out for them.
If it's Herbie, they're screwed.
Yeah, pretty much. He's the link getting that ball out.
If it's Herbie, they're screwed.
But, yeah.
He was one of the Broncos' best backs last
definitely.
Year.
Definitely.
Like
he was a huge loss, and
he was that link man in their backline last year. Yeah, hard out he was.
Cobbo's done a good job. And he's not a fan
really
worth,
well
but
the highlights that I've seen.
Yeah, Cobbo's done enough. All right, let's look at the last games of the round. The Dolphins And the Tigers. Oh, no, we just had the Dolphins and Tigers, sorry. Who are we looking at? Cowboys game, sorry. So the Titans looked okay near the end of this game. They started to kind of show some kind of sign of life. Jumping out here and there, having a few little spurts. Yeah, I don't know, too little, too late. But what they pulled together when they did started, yeah, putting on a few tries there, they looked okay, just not enough.
Titans for me aren't going to be there at the end either. Like, again, it's about their consistency. And, you know, if players like Payne Haas, Adam Fanua Blake, if those guys are like your talismanic players that carry your forward packs, then, you know, Tino was that for Titans. Yeah. And so them not having Tino there and being out for, he's out for the season, eh?
He's gone. Unfortunately. Mo had a good few games last season, got a call up into the Maroons, and then really dropped off this year.
Yeah. Again, he's dropping off because he doesn't have someone like a Tino there to help keep him picked up. So even though Tino might still be around at trainings and things, but it's the ability for those players and what they can do on the field that picks up the players around them. Yeah, hard out. And so, you know, what's positive for me with the Warriors is that Adam can come off the field and whoever's come on is going to pick up where he's left off.
That's one thing I've noticed this year is they've been able to get that rotation a lot better. You know, having that power game, whoever comes on, they're not dropping too much. But yeah, I don't know. I saw Foran got injured at the end of this game as well, so I don't know if that's a bad one. These guys without Tino and Foran feels like pretty much a wooden spooner story coming. A lot of hope off the back of Dez too. I think everyone thought he'd come with a new game plan. The roster looks like a team rebuilding, and then once you've lost Foran and Tino, like you said, it's a team that's on the beginning of a 5-year plan.
Well, it's the genius of the Mad Hatter. You're either going to get the genius, or you're going to get the mad. All you're getting at the moment is the mad. And so, you know, the Titans, unfortunately, they're the beneficiaries of angry Dez at the moment. You know, so, yeah, I saw that that video meme.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was really Dez. I was like,
that spray from...
A fake Dez.
Nah,
fake Dez,
I could tell it wasn't Dez. It was like an old AFL.
Oh, so it was a real spray, recording. Like a coach was giving.
So it's an actual.
Damn.
Yeah, that's ruthless. It was a real spray, but it was AFL, and I was like, oh. At first, I thought it was Ricky Stewart, and I was like, nah, that's not Ricky Stewart. Nah. Yeah, nah. That's pretty sad. But I mean, it highlights where the Titans are at. Like, it'll be frustrating for Dez Hasler, who's new coming into the organization, you know, having set standards for himself at other clubs where he's won premierships, and then to come to Titans and get the way that it is at the moment, and he's having to and then he loses his captain early on in the season. So it's like, I think because they don't have anyone that can replace Tino, or like either in what he does on the field or in terms of leadership, they are probably going to be the wooden spoon, to be honest. You know, you look at those other guys that you mentioned before, you all picked, might be wooden spooners. They've got leaders in there that if they can keep them healthy, it will make them avoid the wooden spoons. Like, so, you know, guys like Uppy at the Tigers, you know, works really well, stays motivated. Like, he's playing super motivated, you know, not like the first season where he came across and was playing for money. You could tell he was playing for money, you know, disappointed at not being a champ. But this year he sort of stepped up going, well, you know what? I can make a Cinderella story out of this friggin' club if I really want to. And he is definitely putting his hand up to lead the Tigers to the finals at the end of the year if they have that. They have the capacity to do it, but it's all about the heart, the wanting, you know. And then who was it? So who else picked?
Dragons.
What else were the other picks?
Yeah, and there's enough heart. Dragons. Like, you've got guys like Ben Hunt, like Lomax. Like, if you can get enough heart out of a guy who wants to go, that's going to pick up a team. Like, oh, man, this guy's still playing hard, but he wants to leave.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. You know, and some of those other teams that you named before, like those guys, Titans are definitely going to be, it'll probably be between them and I reckon the Eels.
Talking of the Eels, let's move on to that game. 41-8 without Mitchell Moses. They lost Mitchell Moses last week and they seemed to do all right to stay in the game. But, man, I think everyone was picking this like to be a game of the round. Both of these teams hanging in the balance just to kind of get a gauge of themselves. Oh. A lot of disappointment. I don't know. The Eels, they try to try something different. Starting Wudumu Greg, like Wudumu, good on him, bro. But he's not Junior Polo. Man, I was confused with that. Just that, like, I guess maybe his first game of the season, and they thought he was gonna just that nervous energy, but. It makes for a spectacle. You want to put in that big hit. And he just didn't fire. Like, he dropped that ball, that first opportunity he had, and just, yeah, I don't know if the nerves got the better of him, but just, it looked like that was the tactic. Put him on because it's his first game. You know, Bolo's been doing the shiz for us, but let's let this kid unleash him. And he's a brah, brah, brah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they underestimated the Raiders, the Eels. You know, and they were both coming off losses from the previous week, and their loss was pretty tough, the Eels, because they lost by one to the Tigers.
Exactly, the week before.
And so I think they just tried to overdo stuff. And in the end, like, the Raiders themselves were bouncing back after a loss the week before. So, you know, again, I didn't watch this game because, to be honest, these teams do not interest me at all. But, you know, it's a tough one to call because, you know, they've got players like Gutherson and that who everyone's like, King Gutho and all of this sort of shit for these guys. And it's like, man, they need to be consistent. Yeah. They need to turn up. They need to make sure that, you know, one consistent player is Hopgood in that Eels team. Like, he's consistently getting lots of points for people in their fantasy teams. And that guy does a hell of a lot of work.
Well, Rappana, like, at the back, like, he's like just
transmate from being a good player.
You know, he's been huge for them at the back, just really stepping up. And so, yeah, Rappana is one of those players, like you're saying, you know, those guys that the team can jump on the back of. He's one of those heart guys. Like, if Rappin is giving it all, the rest of the guys get up for it.
Raiders for me this year are those, they're a middle of the road team for me, but they're one of those middle of the road teams that are super tough to grind wins out against. And the Warriors saw that a few weeks back. And I think any team is going to see this year a Raiders team that will be tough to beat. Like, I don't think they're going to be flash or fancy, or they're going to be ugly wins, the Raiders. And when they do get a roll on over teams that they dominate, like the Eels in the last weekend, you know, they look super impressive, but against teams like Penrith and, you know, probably Manly, Storm, Roosters, probably, you know, the Warriors, they're going to be really tough, grindy, either ugly wins or ugly losses for
and
the Raiders.
The Raiders that's how they've been
Raiders team
under,
swing either way.
Under Ricky for a long time is, yeah, and I think that's something they need a break in their mold is they've always been the gritty team. Remember there was that other year they missed out on the eight and they lost like pretty much like 10 games in the season by 1 point. Just all these gritty games and that's kind of been their, you know, that's their MO and that's kind of what you should expect from a Raiders. And then if you're off, like this game, like I think they need to have more of these games against those big teams. Like they grit it out and they just make it an ugly grind. And it's almost like they need a, it's almost like they need finesse. Like it's just, they love a grind and, or a mess. Like even this, like they went on with the, like the 41-8 looks like they blew them off the park, but it was, again, like quite gritty. Like, the Eels were there or thereabouts. And yeah, it was like the Raiders gritting it out. So yeah, I think it flatters the Raiders, the score line. But if you watch the game, it's a typical Raiders game. Like they just get in the gritty stuff. The Eels were horrible. I think that's probably a nice word to put how they played. So yeah, when you look at that score and the amount of errors that the Eels made, like they Rapana, like early in the game, there's a Schiller try. They're down to 12 men. Like the ref should have pulled it up because Rapana couldn't play on like, after one of the kick returns. Yet the Raiders go on to score against the Eels with 12 men. So it's like, yeah, it was kind of a high, like early in the game, you kind of knew where it was going. So yeah, I don't know if that's momentum. There was one thing, though. I was hoping Sai came on tonight because I put on a vision of the Bailey Simonson. Well, it was a penalty. I think he got a... No, he didn't even get a penalty. They reviewed it. So he tackled the player on his shoulders, but left his legs and just swung around him like a hip drop, but didn't make contact with the back leg. So he just buckled over backwards. And it was more awkward the way that I think it was I can't even remember who he pulled back and got a real awkward tackle on him. And so I think it was a half milk on that tackle, but he got off with no penalty. So yes, I wanted to check with you then. What's your views on what a hip drop is? Is it the action of the swinging and leaving your feet to come down to pull the player down, or is it the impact and actually falling on the legs that counts as a hip drop?
I guess you could compare it to when people run in to put on a big hit and it's a very obvious shoulder charge and they make no connection and they dive in over the top and it's like, holy shit, if that person was standing there, it would have been a very obvious shoulder charge. And you could have given a penalty. But because that person's like stepped out of the way or whatever,
they just
that just
flying,
gets flying nothing. Innocently over the top.
Okay.
Yeah, and nothing's happened. So that's how I approach this one. He's come in flying. He's left his feet. He's swung around the player. But he's not actually dropped onto the back of the player's legs, causing like those lower leg injuries you see, which is common in lots of
the hip drops.
Standard hip drop tackles where the ankles or the Achilles or fucking something, lower calves have been, you know, stuffed up. He's come in and he swung around. He's completely changed the balance of the ball carrier's weight. And he's sort of, now all of his weight is on the wrong foot and he's sort of fallen, but now this leg... And then it just looked way awkward because his weight swung right back around really quickly and he's gone to the ground. And because he's been swung around because of the momentum of the player that's tackling him, his legs kind of buckled in a funny angle. And it just
almost
it's
like
awkward and it's not dangerous as such, but yeah, it's put his position where his legs are sort of stuck in a funny position. It's not normal to fall that way. And so because he's fallen that way because of the weight of the tackler, it makes it look dangerous. But to be honest, he's affected a tackle. That's all he's done. He's affected a tackle. He hasn't dropped onto the player's back legs, causing any sort of lower leg injury that's common with the hip drop tackles, with the typical hip drop tackles. And so I think that's just play on, you know, you've been stopped. It's awkward and your leg might look sore, but he hasn't done anything illegal by the rules of the game. You know, it's not a hip drop. It's not a cannonball. It's not a chicken wing. It's not any of those things that have been outlawed. It's just an awkward tackle. Yes, he's left his feet, but he's affected the tackle. He's made you stop momentum. So, you know.
Yeah. So
someone might think differently in that he's left his leg. So, but then it's like, well, people leave their legs to drive their shoulders into your gut to bring you down. You know, I've seen people do those kind of diving tackles from afar. And it's the same thing. Yeah, like a spear tackle. They've dived, they've left their legs, and they've affected a really good tackle into your guts that have brought you down. That's a person leaving their legs. What's the difference?
Yeah, I guess, you know, it's hard.
I don't know. You could argue that one all day.
And I think that's the thing. Like, I think if they can get that kind of clarity, like, that's real clarity, like what you've bought. And I think it's, if they rule like that, that would bring consistency and clarity to anyone watching. Like, you can do all the looking like going for a shoulder charge, but it doesn't connect. You can go for the hip drop motion, but the impact. And so it comes back to, because I guess that's the thing. The reason they're trying to take it out of the game, because it's awkward and the risk. And so I guess that's the thing, like, because you don't have control on where you land, because you're going in with that impact to try and change the momentum of the player by, you know, coming off your feet and swinging yourself around to hopefully, you know, that was effective, like you're saying, effective tackle, because you've stopped the player moving and you've been able to bring them to the ground. And so, yeah, I think, real hard one, like you're saying. You could argue it all day. So, I guess the way you're leaning is more impact to the player, because then it's, we'll allow it as long as the players aren't getting injured. I think the way they're trying to rule it is, well, I guess that's the thing. So maybe they're agreeing with you, because the way they rule Bailey Simonson's, he's affected the tackle, no injury, so let's play on. Maybe you're right. Maybe that's the way they're going to rule it going forward. You're allowed that swinging motion as long as it doesn't injure a player.
Yeah, I think even if he did injure him, like, it wouldn't have been a traditional hip drop.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Is the hip drop explanation
the way that
from
he
the hip?
Tackled him, he fell awkwardly.
Because is the name from holding the hip and then dropping, because, he was way up on his shoulder, pretty much the whole body, like a bear hug, and then off his feet.
Yeah, so the player's weight, so you're around the middle of the player, and then your legs have come off the ground, and then you've slid down, like your lower body has slid down and pretty much sat on the top of the tackled player's legs, pretty much, which is where the injuries happen, because all of your weight lands onto the back of ankles, the back of feet, lower calf muscles, all of that sort of stuff, which isn't where weight is supposed to land, because it's your whole weight. You know, it's not just a little bit of your body that's tackled and landed. It's all of your weight's fallen and caused these lower leg injuries. So, it's the same. Yeah, that's how I see it. Like, if you come in for a shoulder charge, or if you go in for a big massive swinging arm and you miss, people go, oh, penalize him for
looking really angry and gonna, but, I had bad intentions, are you gonna get penalty?
Exactly. So, you can't penalize people who've come in with bad intentions that look like would have been an illegal play when they haven't actually done anything. So, come on. for me, that's just a move on. But it probably would have been different had the player injured himself, because then there would have been all sorts of people going, oh, that's just like a hip. But you can't rule on just like a hip drop. It's either a hip drop or it's not. It's either a shoulder charge or it's not, a head high or it's not. It's not a because it's like a hip drop or because it's like a shoulder charge or it's like a head high. These things got to be one or the other. There's no gray or in between. Otherwise, you could be officiating that shit every day, and Graham Annesley will be coming out every week apologizing to clubs all the time.
All right, nice talking points. Yeah, good round. Man, it's still crazy to think we're only round five. One talking point I wanted to bring up. We're getting close. 2 months out from first Origin. It's only week five of round five of the competition. Origin 1, beginning of June. Everyone's starting to put out their predictions, their bolters, some smokies in there. I wanted to look at, for both sides, who are some guys that you think might be huge outs? We saw Dan Gagai get the cut last year from Queensland. That was a huge out. Kalen Ponga dropped and then eventually said that he's not going to make himself available from Queensland last year. A lot of players starting to put their hands up, trying to make some positions. Let's go 1 to 17. Who do you think's going to be an unfortunate, even if they make 18th man, like who, actually 18th kind of counts. Who do you think's going to be some guns like Gagai last year that we're probably all going to be shocked they don't even see the light of day in a New South Wales or Queensland jersey?
I think Teddy will probably be dropped.
Wow.
For New South.
Wow. Straight off the bat, you're going to go with the big guns, Teddy.
Yeah. Hard out.
Off the bat. Last year, he's been shaky. But he's been a gun this year.
Last year was shit.
Yeah. But this year...
He's been a gun this year because last year was shit.
And so what? You don't think he's at the levels of Teddy? He's just better than last year?
Yeah. I think he is just better than last year. But that's not the only reason. I think it's because you've got guys like Dylan Edwards who I think were given a sort of consolation jersey last year. You know, when people were talking about, oh, no, you need to pick Dylan Edwards, and he sort of was just brought in last minute. And I think he's done enough in the last few years to be super consistent at fullback. Well, you know, Maguire's talked about it himself, saying that he's not going to pick people on reputation.
That's right, Madge's got the job. Form.
Yeah, and so when he came in last year, that was his whole gambit. That he talked about how, lots of people might be a bit disappointed, but, you know, I'm here to do a job. I'm here to make sure that New South Wales are in the best position to win State of Origin, and I'm going to pick on form and who I think is going to get the job done. Because, you know, some of Fittler's selections last year were like, you know, when he talks about, Pongai Jr., he didn't look out of place in that jersey. And I was like, silly. This guy, you're making some terrible calls, but I didn't care because I was a Queensland fan.
Anyone else that might be a shock in the New South, or you want to move to the Queensland?
I think Damien Cook, if he doesn't play consistent, better footy, he might be a casualty for the Blues.
If you think he's not a casualty, you reckon Uppy's starting at least, though?
I think the way that Uppy's playing, he's definitely putting his hand up. Is Wade Egan a new self? I don't know, but if he is...
Like, new self, yeah.
He's doing everything possible to... he's doing everything possible to get a... Well, to get, you know, become part of the training squad. Mm-hmm. you know, and yeah, it's difficult because during State of Origin, they always pick players out of position. You know, Latrell goes back to centre. You know, they want to have Trail, Turbo, and who's the other centre?
Latrell and Turbo, both out of position.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Latrell and Turbo. And to have Teddy at the back. But I think they need to change that up and just play people in their positions. I don't know, to be honest. Whatever. Yeah. You know, whoever's the best fullback needs to play fullback. Don't bring on all these gun players because you think their big names are going to carry you through. Like, I don't know. That's too much of a gamble, I feel, for them to do that.
Queensland, we do it with Hammer.
Yeah, that's true. But it works. It works.
Yeah. Hammer's Hammer.
Yeah.
How about on the Maroon side, mate? Any guys Maroons, you think are going to be as unfortunate as Gagai be a bit blindsided?
You know, the Broncos guys won't like me for this, but I'd much rather have Kalen Ponga at fullback than Reece Walsh.
And Reece Walsh?
But
Reece Walsh at 14, or totally not there?
No, I'd still have him in the squad because the X Factor, like, you can't coach X Factor. And it's good to have Reece there because, you know, this is my take on Reece Walsh. I see him as a young Sean Johnson. He has all of the goods, all of the skill, but he lacks that maturity that a lot of young players don't automatically have when they come into the NRL. And so, you know, and you often see it with Reece. He's like on the field and then you'll see him looking off into the corner, but he's looking up the big screen at himself. He's trying to see where am I on the screen? Yeah, you know, you often see him checking himself out. I'm like, this guy. You know, the man is more about painting his fingernails. And
yeah, so you reckon he'll be the big out?
Not out of the team completely, but I reckon, you know, have him as an impact player that comes off the bench. Like, he can provide that impact. Because you need his X factor. You know, he can break a game wide open, or he can totally knock the ball on all the time and miss tackles. You know, that's what you need in those X Factor players. It's a gamble. Who else can be in out? I wouldn't tattoo with the line too much. The lineup, it's pretty solid, I reckon. Yeah, I don't know. Who were our props last year?
Tino and Flegler? Yeah. Oh, sorry, who was your other bolter? I missed it at the end, like, I mean, your unlucky suitor for Queensland.
Nah, so that's...
Anyone
that's
as bad as that guy or nah?
I don't know who's going to replace Tino in the front row. I don't know whether they give... Who are our backup forwards, bro? Now I'm getting worried.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think in terms of our props. Our surely there must be some props over at the Storm we can grab and say that they're Queenslanders. Kamikamita, he's from Brisbane.
Oh, that might be a bit of a headache for Queensland coaches if they can't replace in the front row. But yeah, I don't know, to be honest, bro. I haven't really sort of looked at the Origin teams. I just know that there's a crap load of new self juggling that they're going to need to be doing.
Oh, Big Red, yeah. Griffin Neem. Yeah, he's starting to come back into form. Here we go.
Oh, Raiders.
He'll be back in the fold. Yeah, he's over at Cowboys at the moment. Yeah.
Big Griffin has he moved?
He should be. Yeah, he's over at the Cowboys. He had he's been injured, but he's back at the moment. So, and then Mo, if he can actually start getting some decent games under his belt,
yeah,
get back into form. Again, he could be one of those just Queensland, just Gaia all year, and then just rip up for Queensland and come back and rip up for the Titans after that.
Yeah, they might have a bolter in the front row. I don't know who that'll be, but or like front row cover to be part of that prop rotation.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think Big Red was 18th man or something last year. Yeah, well.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, no, that's a big call, mate.
It's a winning formula.
Yeah, we'll see
at the
how
moment,
that
so.
Teddy call plays out.
Yeah, I reckon it will.
Why shake it? I think the only one I had kind of maybe missing out. And we'll see how it plays out, but maybe Cobbo. But I think he's been playing good enough.
Yeah, I don't think they'll change too much with the Queensland team, to be honest. I don't think Gagai would have done enough to play his way
Coates
back into the team.
Coates was out last year. Injury, I think.
Yeah, he was. That's right.
And so, yeah, after what he's done at the beginning of this year, like, just that option of that kind of... Yeah, because I think, yeah, that's... Remember that year we had Coates and that New South Wales kind of plan with Addo Carr and Brian Tuttle? They got real nervous because I think we had Tulangi and Coates just jumping over everything. And that's when they were like, oh, flip, we need to change it up.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
We'll see.
All right, us. Nice, bro. Let's wrap it up. Let's go to our predictions for this week. Let's head to the TAB and let's look at your wrap for round six. First game of the night, Thursday night, Knights and Roosters. Knights coming off a good win. Roosters looking ugly, looking strong at the back end. How do you see this one going, bro?
Roosters for me. The Knights, I feel, are still a team that revolves around Ponga. They need to do more than constantly rely on Kalen to pull a eat ass play out of his bag of tricks. You know, the rest of the team needs to step up at the Knights in order for them to consistently win, I feel, this year. And the Roosters were probably hard done by with some of the calls last week, not the Dom Young one, but they had to grind out that close loss. So, you know, they'll probably be fizzing after last week's loss. And so I think they're going to come off the back of that and most likely pump the Knights. I feel.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm going Roosters as well. Similar, like just the attacking prowess seems to revolve around Kalen. Again, I missed the game last week against the Dragons, but I think he's probably key. Roosters without... I think that head knock James Tedesco is gone. I don't think he's passed his HIA, so he's gone. Sammy Walker's gone, and Dom Young out as well. So a lot of changes in this back line. But Joey Manu at the back, Connor Watson coming in for Sammy Walker. So, gone Roosters on this one as well. I don't know the actual number. Maybe I was wrong on the number, but Jennings is starting at centre, so that's going to be awesome to see him run out at centre. I don't know if it's going to be his 299th or 300th. Hopefully someone changes their mind and does something, because that's a lot of work to give to a game that's buzzing right now, and it wouldn't be here without guys like that have given everything to make the comp what it is. Storm and Bulldogs, did you see enough from the Doggies last week to pick them?
No. Maybe in that first half, but then they just imploded in that second half. Like, it was terrible. Like, that second half was... It was the Dogs, man. Like, literally. Storm should win this game easily if they just stick to their guns and play their usual Storm structure. But again, you know, the Doggies, like I said, is one of those four teams that I've mentioned earlier that could pull out an upset if they decide to turn up and play and all of their gun players turn up and play. Like, you know, you don't really sort of discount guys like Kikau and Burton and Critter and that. You know, Addo Carr's meant to be back as well. So, you know, they've got some good players in their Doggies team, but I just feel like they haven't had enough time together to gel properly as a team. So it'll be another one of those games that the Doggies will put under their belt. And even if they lose, you know, they'll take a lot of learnings out of this game and they'll only get better. So I think later on in the year, maybe if the Doggies can stay injury free, it'll probably be a different game if they play Storm later on. But round six, it's going to be Storm all day.
Yeah, interesting draw. It was probably like the Doggies of old. These last 3 weeks would have been some amazing footy to watch. You know, the Rabbits, Roosters, and then the Storm. I'm sure the Doggies supporters are hoping they can see their Doggies back to that old Doggies form. Crichton gets a start at the back. So, yeah, that'll be real interesting. Connor Tracy coming in on the wing. Jacob Kiraz in the centre. He's looked real good. Bronson Zeri getting a start at centre as well. So, yeah, looking stacked. That back line is looking a lot more decent. Drew Hutchinson there still at 7. This could actually be a good one. I've gone Storm. I think Storm, if the Doggies can, kind of get up for this one, they can really make a statement. That should be a fun one to watch. All right, Friday night game, continuing with another Queensland derby, Dolphins and the Broncos. Suncorp game, so I'm assuming it's a Broncos home game. Broncos got a lot of outs. Probably a good time for the Dolphins to strike. Jock Madden and Ezra leading the squad. Reece Walsh back. That can't be right.
Yeah, I read somewhere that they were going to bring him back for this game. Yeah, I don't know if a game against the Dolphins is the one that you want to risk.
So much for player safety.
That's exactly right. But you're right too. Like, I think
your thoughts on this?
If the Dolphins are going to strike and beat the Broncos, a Broncos without Adam Reynolds in the backs and without Payne Haas at the front, this is their best opportunity to do it. Like, I think them bringing Reece Walsh back was to provide some sort of flair and star power back into the Broncos team. Because they lose quite a bit of that forward momentum of Payne not being there, and then that whole game management with Adam Reynolds not being there. So, you know, they'll most likely play Billy Walters again at half. And, yeah, he's just there. Like, I don't know if he can offer up the same things that Reynolds does. I don't know. I want to say Broncos, but I also feel like the Dolphins are going to pull the Broncos' pants down in this game.
Fins up, man. Fins up.
So actually, Dolphins. What's your call, mate? I'm going to call Dolphins on this one.
Oosh.
Mm-hmm.
Hating on these Broncos guys that don't want to turn up to the pod.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, their backline's pretty upset too. You know, there's no Binger, he's out injured. Like I said, no flipping Reynolds. You know, they've got a lot of people that are injured. You know, they've had to bring Corey Oates in. You know, so, he's a good player to bring in to replace guys in the back. But, I don't know, is it enough? John and Simon will be like, hell yes, it's enough.
Ilia lava.
Are you sure it's enough? It might not be, I don't think. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah.
All those ex-Broncos always turn up for the games against Bronx.
I'm picking this as game of the round. Home game for the Warriors. Man, other than Luke Metcalf, this on paper is the Warriors starting side. Like, this is the team they've been planning to have all season, it looks like. And they finally got it. And Manly's been looking good all season. Like you mentioned earlier, the Warriors have certain game plans for the different teams. You know, Ponga, Latrell, they've had a game plan. Nicholas Hines, they had a game plan. Even Pappenhausen, they had a game plan. Manly have a lot of strike zones. I don't know. Your thoughts, can the Warriors have a game plan for this many attack options?
I think for this one, this will be similar to when we played the Raiders. Like, if we're going to win, this is going to be a grind. Like, Manly are just that team that can match you across the field in all positions. You know, is DCE coming off the back of last week's emotional roller coaster of a game, overtaking club great, club stalwart, Cliffrey Lyons as the most kept Manly player ever? You know, has that emotion sort of subsided now that he's coming into the week playing against the Warriors? You know, he's an out-and-out professional, DCE, so I reckon, like, absolutely, he'll be switched on and his mind will be ready to go for this week's game. But, you know, you're right. I think outside of Metcalf that we've lost, I think Murata's also not playing. Bunty's injured. You know, they get Capewell back. Matt Lodge, that's his bloody name. You know, Dylan Walker's injured. But, you know, they've got their back line sussed in terms of their back three, I mean. And so you're right, this is a chance to see the Warriors team that we've been sort of waiting to see all season, having all of them there, having Chance, having Roger, having Dallin, Montoya. You know, SJ gets to play with all of these outside backs that can do damage. But I think key for me is most likely Egan again up the middle. He'll be targeting tired forwards. He'll be targeting those, you know, Josh Aloyai, Toff, Sipley, all those guys that can get really sloppy around the ruck, especially if they're A defenders and if their marker defense isn't that great. You know, they'll be looking to do a number on those props on the inside, like what Egan did in last week's game. You know, Tamaiti again, he's looking to step up and solidify himself as the new six with Metcalf out injured and with, you know, Chanel breathing down his neck. You know, he wants to make a statement to the coach, and Webster saying that, you know, look, Metcalf's out, but I'm going to slot straight in there, and then just the plans haven't changed. It's just the name. I'm still going to do exactly the same thing. If it wasn't Metcalf, it's now me. The plan hasn't changed. We're just going to continue to get on this roll with me at six, you know. So, seven. What does he play? He plays six, eh? Yeah, so I think it'll be an arm wrestle. But if the Warriors can stay consistent to how they've been playing the last three or four rounds, like coming off that Melbourne loss that was close as, and then three on the trot, you know, you're right. I think this could be the game of the round. You know, all the Manly boys are hoping that we'll get our pants pulled down, but, you know, the Warriors playing at home in front of that crowd and the crowd that we've had consistently.
I got some extra tickets. I'm going to take all these Manly guys with me to this game. Yeah, I got four tickets. I was thinking I'll take the kids, but actually, I might take Cam's, Roger, and Tino. Tino the Baba, all these. The Bird Gang. I'll take the Bird Gang with me so I can laugh at them all the way home. But, yeah, it's not in the bag. I think this is a real good timing for the Warriors. It's a real good tester, and Manly are pretty much strength 1 to 17 as well. And their props like Baseka and Aloyai, you know, Olokalatu and Sipley, they're not guys to sleep on either. They're not the biggest props, but they're very, you know, agile. And like when you're saying it's going to be a grind, these are guys that are fit enough to grind. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to be an easy game. I think it's a perfect tester for the Warriors to check where they're at. So both teams are probably been eyeing this game for a while. I think the Seagulls as well, the way that they attack, they're looking forward to this. I think even a hangover from last year and what some of the games we've seen from the Manly this year, I think that's where the Warriors will catch them, is that it's a real attacking. Both teams attack, but we can defend as well. I think that's one thing Manly's been guilty of, is they just put more points on their opposition. They know how to put points on, and they just outscore their opposition, and that is their goal. Like, fuck it, if they score, we're just going to score more. And I think that's where we're probably going to come out on top, is stopping probably one or two tries more than Manly. So, yeah, it could be a real, as long as the weather's good, should be a real entertaining game, and a good one to get along to. I know you're getting there, so... Yeah, hopefully if the Bird Gang are up to it, I'll drag those guys along. And
who's replaced Garrick for Manly? Because Ruben Garrick's out injured.
Yeah, so I think they brought in Tommy Talau.
So who's their kicker? Is it been DCE kicking goals for them?
I don't know who kicked last week. Yeah, it might have been actually DCE doing their kicks last week. Let's have a look.
They better have a solid goal kicker, because points are going to be crucial.
Could be the difference. Yeah, exactly. That could be, could make all the difference for them, actually. The conversions.
Well, that was the difference in the Bulldogs Roosters game.
Oh, yeah, DCE took over kicking.
In the Bulldogs Roosters game. They missed like six points or whatever it was. They were going up in fours at the end of the game.
Exactly.
Oh, I think it's Luke Brooks. He might be doing the kicking.
Yeah, I think DCE kicked last week.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. All right, let's move ahead to Saturday's game. Saturday night after the Warriors, heading over to Combat Stadium. The Eels, disappointing Eels, taking on the Cowboys. You reckon they're bouncing back? They're still without Mitchell Moses.
Nah, Cowboys. Cowboys. Again.
Yeah, I don't think there's much to say on that one.
It's that same sort of thing where so much depends on one player for these teams. You know, it's like, nah, man. If teams want to survive, they got to be more than just a one-trick pony, and they can't just be the survive and depend on one player, because as soon as that player gets injured or is unavailable for whatever reason, you know, and then they start losing games, it's like, nah, they got to find ways to win without them. So I don't think they found a way, and I think the Cowboys are going to win that.
Nice. Yeah, I'm going the same way with that. Moving ahead to the final game of Super Saturday. Sharks and Rabbits. Rabbits most likely without Latrell. I think judiciary tonight, they'll find out his fate. They've already put in Jai Gray as naming as starting, so maybe they've just taken the early guilty play 3 weeks out for Latrell, possibly. Tyrone Munro comes back in for Tuitupou. So, yeah, a few little changes there in the back line.
Yeah, this one's probably tough to call because now that Latrell's not there, it's probably going to be a more
true
structured team. Yeah, like, you know, he really disrupts. Either way, he can either disrupt super positively or disrupt, and then the game is just gone. Like, you can't win.
Yeah,
I think with him not being there, like, maybe Cody Walker can take it more upon himself to do a bit more. Initially, I thought this would be an easy call, but, you know, the Sharks haven't been playing super hot themselves so far this year. Like, they've won games where they probably should have lost, and they've lost games that they probably should have won. This is a coin toss one for me, to be honest. But I don't think Souths are going to have enough in them to overcome the Sharks. So I'm picking Cronulla for this one.
Hey. Nice. Yeah, actually, just off the back of your comments, I was going to take them as a little upset, but nah. Just looking at the rest of the roster.
Yeah.
Sharks are still looking solid.
Yeah, they are.
Kyle Iro. He's one of the Iro boys' sons, eh?
I think so, yeah. I think he's Kevin's son.
Good to see a like out and out center.
Which is where his old man and his uncle started off in.
Yeah, just teaching him like how to actually play center and play it well. Good to see. All right, let's the Tigers Dragons.
This is probably another coin toss for me. But I feel like Uppy was so disappointed that they lost this weekend that they're going to train the house down in the coming week and they're going to do a number on the Dragons.
Ooh. Tigers get up over the Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to agree with you. Like, the momentum of both teams and kind of their trajectory, I'd agree. I think the Tigers have shown enough to say they can pip the Dragons in this, so I'll go with you on that one. The other Sunday game, wrapping us out, Raiders and Titans. Have Titans got it in them? Is this their comeback game?
Well, they're meant to have four in back, eh? No.
Oh, so he is back? Is he named in there?
Yeah, they've got him back.
I don't know what happened last week, so.
This is a Raiders win for me. I think the Titans worries are just going to continue. Yeah, unfortunately. Like, the Titans don't have any really.
Yeah, especially when your team's going that badly, it's. Yeah, I guess we've been there. I've got a short memory, so I'm glad I can't remember those bad old days. But, yeah, coming into the sixth round, staring down the barrel, can't be easy.
It's going to – the year only gets tougher for Titans.
The Raiders as well. Yeah, unfortunately, seeing the way the Warriors are going, it's hard to remember the feelings when your team's like this.
Mm.
When your team's go by and everyone else looks so much awesome than you. And it's like you look at your roster and go, oh man, yeah, how do we get better? Because we've only got a few good guys and they're injured now.
It's hard to dig deep.
He's almost hoping that some of your unknown guys are going to step up and.
Yeah, it's hard to dig deep. It's
like a very long road.
And that's what I mean,
Yeah.
And it's okay to have those short memories because No one wants to dwell in those seasons where you played like shit when you shouldn't have, because you had the potential to be way better than where you ended up. So I don't give a care about those seasons where the Warriors were guy out. It's in the past, man.
Hey, we were there. You can enjoy the time now because you knew you were there.
That's right. Hell, the Broncos were wooden spooners not so long ago. So, you know, those guys don't want to bring up that fact.
Exactly, yeah. Nice, also, where's your seats for Saturday?
We're in the...
You're on the eastern stand?
We're in the west. Because, yeah, we get the sun until it sets and then it gets all dark and freezing cold.
It's all two wee books. Yeah, eastern stand or western?
Rises in the east, sets in the west. Oh, so we're east stand. Because we can see the sun that's setting in the west.
Oh, as it goes down during the game?
Yeah. Because I was like, nice. No, we're not west. Well,
I think we're in the south stand.
Oh, yeah.
I might take the kids. I took the kids to round one when we lost. So I think they deserve to see us play a hard game and win. But I don't know. At the same time, I want to take these Bird Gang boys so I can laugh at them. I wish I got to laugh at those Rabbitohs guys that have been, you know, every year I've been losing these bets to these Rabbitohs bullies. And then the one year I got busy and forgot to put a bet on. Finally, fussies is a little.
Man, I didn't even realize that our stats were so bad against the Rabbitohs.
Yeah, I know. So it was one of those, like, kind of in the back of my mind, I knew that I keep making bets and keep losing them. So I was like, man. Yeah, and then when it was like 8 in a row, I was like, it probably makes sense.
Yeah. Like, when we were playing the Storm, I was like, nah, we're their bogey team. And I was like, so let me stop being the bogey team like 14 losses ago.
So it's just those perceptions like, we're the bogey. They always struggle. Like, they always struggle but seem to still beat us then. It's not really. Oh, if bogey, like, it's just annoying in your nose, but you finally just pick it and flick it away.
So, you were the bogey team back in 2011. okay. Selective memory. All good.
Bottles. So, Seki wrap of the rounds. Any last words, mate?
Nah, man. It'd be good to jump on here with Mans on. That guy's always good for a laugh. But any last words? Up the Waz.
Yeah, hopefully next week we'll have the Up the Waz. Nice. Yeah. Hopefully we'll have the also back on. We'll be back to regular programming. You can come and have a laugh at him next week after you made your prediction against his team. Sick Yus, thanks for jumping on. Check out all our content on the WizWizNet.com. The latest WizWiz magazine, the sports magazine, out at all your local supermarkets, or you can catch it online. The next one should be dropping in the next 2 weeks as well. Look out for that. Our co-host here has got his own piece, his write-up in there. So, look out for that. And what is that? What do you call the episode? Not episode. What do you call when the paper comes out? Article 3? What do you call
edition.
The third magazine? Edition. The third edition of the Where's magazine. You're featuring Bob Sevilla. Check us out. Check out all our other podcasts. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for tuning in.
Peace.
Nice.